The fire burned all around her. The flames licked up the walls, hungry, consuming year after year of memories, sometimes decades at a time. They swallowed generations in a blink like an angry god consumes its petulant child. She felt the sizzle along her arms and the back of her neck, singeing her hair. She felt it on her face, making her skin feel tight like she wore her own death mask. But at the heart of the fire where she lay, the most disturbing sensation was the cold. It emanated up from the body she curled herself around, as cool and still as the grave. Chaos wound itself in tight tornadoes around her, spinning so fast she couldn't tell the direction. She was stuck in the eye of it, glued to the ground, to the body who had, mere moments ago, housed a fire that could rival that of the inferno that threatened to consume them all. She felt it, the moment the fire inside him had gone out. She felt it in some unnameable place she was sure only existed to be broken. He was gone. He was gone, and all she could do was hold him and scream. But the smoke was too thick, the fire too hot, and the moment she opened her mouth, it came for her. It slid across her shoulders and around her neck, clawing its way into her mouth and down into her lungs. And she wakes up with a strangled shout.
Show me your tits!
Welcome to Eagle and Vice. This is episode 62.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
Yo, 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 this is Ego and Vice, episode 62, second podcast of the quarantine. I am here, my name is Mike, and I'm here with my co-host, Miss Steph Goodwin. What's up?
Hello, how are you?
Good, I'm good. I've been watching a lot of porn.
How is that going for you?
Oh, so good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it feels like I missed out on a lot, you know what I mean? Always working and making money and paying rent and shit like that. Sometimes you just need to, you know, watch some porn. I remember when I was a kid, the first time I ever saw any pornography was my friend Jason back in Thunder Bay. He called me up and said, yeah, I'm going to come over. I'm like, okay. He's like, my brother, he had a big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he gave me this tape, VHS tape.
Okay.
Of
oh,
like,
God.
Of porn. And I'm like, oh, wow, cool. Like, all I'd ever seen was, like, my dad's Playboy, so I know girls had, like, bits and pieces that were, like, exciting to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he came over, and he's like, oh, okay, you ready? Are your parents home? And they were, like, upstairs. He's like, just put it in, and, you know, just, we'll watch it. And I'm like, do you actually see the thing, like, go inside and stuff? And he's like, just put it in.
Oh, my God. That's what she said.
Yeah, and I watched it, and... You know, the older I get, the harder it is to get, like, in that moment. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, shit. It was like, before the tape went in the VCR, I was like, I'm going to fuck my coach. give me a shoe. I'm going to fuck my shoes. And then he seen it, and then he played it, and it was, like, the first time I ever seen, first time I ever saw, like, sex on film. Changed my life, and I'm a better person for it. And I'm still obsessed with it now. Yes, I enjoy pornography, god damn it. So does everybody else, so go fuck yourselves, liars.
I think I'm trying to remember the first time I ever saw, like, a sex scene, like, even a pretend sex scene in a movie, but for actual, I can't remember the first porn I watched. I used to watch Baby Blue 2 when when I was a kid back in like the, what was that, the late 90s, early 2000s, that was that like softcore channel you could get.
Oh, Blue Noir.
Yeah, Blue Nuit, basically.
All right. La la la.
No.
But yeah, it was like the French channel where it was like
this
after.
This one was in English. It was on City TV at like midnight on like Fridays and Saturdays.
It was softcore?
Yeah, it was basically softcore. And I had never seen anything like it. And I was like 11 or 12 and I just like couldn't sleep. So I turned on the TV and I was flipping channels and I was like, bah!
Yeah, but it was all titties. There was no wiener.
I didn't know any better.
Okay.
And besides, it's me. I was like, tits, cool.
Maybe that's where
I don't know how I feel about this.
Maybe that's where he got that from Blue Nuit.
From just watching Blue Nuit and only ever seeing tits.
Yes, tits.
That's 1,000%.
Maybe if you saw some more wiener, you'd be like, I like wiener too.
I do like wiener too.
Okay. That's cool. But yeah, you know, what the fuck are you going to do? I figure you can only watch so much Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You can only watch so much CNN or Fox News or Global.
Yeah, Global, CTV.
Whatever, whatever. Don't tell me that people aren't out there if they're by themselves, sitting at home, knowing they can't go out. They're eating like fucking chicken soup out of a can. And it's like you're sitting in front of your computer and you're not going to fucking see what the sports highlights are because there are none. You're going to go straight to the dicks and the titties. You are. You're going to go straight to the porn. At least, I bet you, I'm going to say that out of like a 12-hour day, people wake up at like 7 a.m.
They do?
Oh, okay. People wake up at 9 a.m. and go to sleep at like 10:30. So in a 13.5-hour day, I bet you everyone puts in at least 45 minutes of porn at some point.
Really?
I think so.
Are we talking every day?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say that. Yeah. Well, unless they're preoccupied with, like, wives and kids and husbands and all that shit. But I think you still, like, go to the bathroom and you sit down and have a deuce. And you have your phone. You have your phone.
Do you watch porn while you're taking a shit?
No. Well, I think I have, yeah. Not as a priority. Like, I'm going to go take a shit, so... Pornhub, baby! No. But yeah, if I'm in the middle of something, yeah, it's just one of those things.
All right.
What?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Your face is very judgmental.
It's not. That's just my face. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Okay. You enjoy you, baby.
Well, I'm trying, you know. We all got to get through this in our own way, and if you can slip 45 minutes of porn in your day, it's okay. That's okay. I don't judge you. I judge you for other things.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I judge people for many things, but not
somehow
that.
Somehow this is still not a judgment-free zone. It's a very judgy zone.
Yeah. No, it's judgment-free. It's judgment-free. Yeah. But I will judge you.
I'm almost afraid to ask what you've been doing with the rest of your free time. What do you do with that other 11 hours and 15 minutes of the... Or sorry, 23 hours and 15 minutes of the day?
A lot of cleanup, you know? A lot of...
cleanup after watching the 45 minutes?
Yeah, a lot of cleanup. do a launder, clean some towels and some socks.
Okay.
Chase my cats around because... One of them is puking all over the goddamn carpet every day.
Maybe he's sick of watching you whack off.
Well, maybe he should stop being a fucking pervert and mind his own goddamn business. Little bastard. So, yeah, once the quarantine is over, I have to rent a carpet cleaner from, like, Loblaws. Because I have to deep clean the goddamn stinky barf stains on my carpet, which are abundant now. And you can spray. I do. I take my towel or my rags or whatever and spray the bleach on it and the Clorox or whatever, the spray bottle, the cleaning shit for like your kitchen or your bathroom. But fuck, man. You can't get like it lifts the brown, but you still see like the outline of it.
Yeah, it does look like you're starting to camo your carpet.
and I'm upset. And Laura, if you listen to this podcast, dude, I'm going to take care of it. Trust me. So settle down. Settle down, everybody.
Your landlord.
Yeah. Well, who knows? How have you been?
I've been all right. I've been doing, God, sweet, sweet fuck all. I am going absolutely mental with not having anything to do. You were kind enough to lend me a game, so I've actually been playing a lot of Pokemon, and I've been playing Jedi Fallen Order, which...
good game. It's a fun
game. I've been enjoying that. It's... what the hell is that kid's name? Something Monahan.
Cameron.
Cameron Monahan. Yeah, 1,000% Cameron Monahan and his floppy red hair. I'm enjoying it. The force powers are super cool. The combat is okay. I'm still shit at parrying blows. But the force powers are awesome, and I use those to kick the shit out of some people. But the maps, man, I can't fucking stand the maps. They're so hard to read in the little heads-up display. And trying to find all the shit, because I'm a completionist, right? So I want to find every little thing. If you give me a list, like, find 16 of these things, and I'm stuck at, you know, 15, I'm going to go fucking crazy trying to find that last thing. But I don't know. Other than that, it's been a lot of fun. Kashyyyk was lush and gorgeous, and it was fun to see all the Wookiees.
Kashyyyk is the planet of the Wookiees.
It is the planet of the Wookiees.
Wookiees.
Yep, you go and see their planet besieged by Empire douchebags and just absolutely plundering the fuck out of it and just whacking Wookiees left and right. That's a bummer, but fuck, man, you get to see Saw Gerrera. That was cool.
Yeah, the young version, but it was still Fishburne, though, eh?
That's not Fishburne, it's...
Oh, no, you're...
Oh, I always forget his name.
Not Lawrence Fishburne, it's the dude with the googly eye.
It's not googly.
No, it's super googly.
It's not googly.
Oh, shit. What's his name?
I know. It's awful. I know.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's googly Whitaker. No, that was rad when you were in like the SDAT or whatever. And
yeah,
you were
the ATSD. That was really cool. Or sorry, no, it was just a...
Maybe
no, it was just
ATAT.
A full on... No, it was an AT-AT. Yeah, it was a full AT-AT. Yeah, that was super cool. Going underwater, I did not like at all, because you and I share a similar
anything underwater in a video game can fucking.
But you and I,
it's the worst.
You
man.
And I share similar fears in that as soon as I got into that like cloudy water, I was just waiting, and I know you would have been too, just waiting for something to come out of that water at me.
Yeah,
I was some weird
space,
fish monster thing
space
that I would
monster, yeah.
that I would have to somehow fight with my fucking laser sword underwater. But no, it didn't happen. So I unclenched. But no, it's been really fun so far. I like the tiny robot.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh,
BD-1.
BD-1.
Yeah.
BD, hey, yo, shaking up, don't see the bottle of beer.
I was just gonna let you see. I just let you go. See how long you did that for.
I've been cooped up a long time.
He's starting to lose it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's play a song. This is a song from a fucking awesome band that I kind of had some time in with. This is a song called Run by my good boys, my good buds, Hearts and Minds, those fuckers. Miss you guys.
It's fair to say we're all caught in the middle. Two opposing sides, I just can't give a little. At each other's throats, we're not solving the riddle. The city burns around you, you're playing the fiddle. Street lights reflecting off the wet cement. Shielding your eyes to hide. hide your malcontent. Should you miss a step or stop to catch your breath? Traitor lives, true man's put to death. Can't you see we're falling? Falling faster than we'll ever fly. So we just walk around our whole lives blind. Waiting for the day we'll finally run. Reflected off the wet cement. Shielding your eyes to hide your malcontent. Should you miss a step or stop to catch your breath? A traitor lives, a true man's put to death.
Hey, we're back. This is episode 62 of Eagle and Vice.
So what else have you been up to when you're not indulging? How have your television programs been?
Programs? Pretty much just watching a lot of wrestling because I have the WWE Network.
Mm-hmm.
And also on YouTube, and I've been doing a lot of wrestling podcasts.
You have?
Yeah.
How much wrestling podcasts?
All of them. There's a guy named Conrad. Oh God, I can't remember his name. Connie, everyone calls him, but he does Eric Bischoff podcast on Mondays. He does Tony Schiavone on Tuesdays. He does Arn Anderson on Wednesdays. He does Jim Ross on Thursdays, and he does Bruce Pritchard on Fridays. So it's a full week.
Holy shit.
Pro wrestling podcasts. And that's what I do when I like go to work. I'll just put on the podcast and I'll listen to it. Because I'm a wrestling purist, my friend. I love the wrestling. I love the history of it. I love the psychology of it. I just love the whole business. I do. And I love the talent. And I love the idea of wrestling. And there's not a wrestling question out there, honestly, that anybody could ask me, and I I challenge anybody. You know, people think like wrestling, oh, that's that WWF stuff. And yes, I know it's fake, you fucking assholes. But it doesn't matter. So's Beverly Hills 90210, but you fuckers still shed a tear over that bullshit. So there is not a wrestling question, past nor present or present, that I would not have the answer for, because I am a wrestling historian. I am a pro wrestling historian. I know everything.
That's a hell of a gauntlet to throw down.
I swear to God.
You ask a question.
I'm up for the challenge. I bet you I can answer it. The fucking funny thing is, though, is that there's very few people that I know that could ask the right question. You know what I mean?
Probably, yeah. If you want to do a deep cut.
They'd be like, who's the big balding blonde guy from the 80s that won the belt? Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just like, go fuck yourself. Challenge me, people. Challenge me.
What's a question you would ask someone if they threw down that same gauntlet of like, I know everything? What's like some deep cut, obscure question that you would ask?
All right. I'll combine it with modern day wrestling.
Okay.
Why is Nick Jackson called Road Warrior Buck?
Why is Nick Jackson called Road Warrior Buck?
Yep.
I have no idea.
I know you don't. I know.
Why?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I want to know now.
Well, let's see if anyone else can answer that.
All right.
Uh-huh.
They're going to turn to the Google.
Yeah. So, how about you?
Oh, Jesus. I can't sit and watch anything, man. I can't be prone like that. I have to have something engaging my brain. So I haven't been watching anything except a bunch of like guys' grocery games, because that's apparently all I can possibly process right now.
That's a great show though.
I do love the Guy Fieri.
I do love him. Yeah, he's great.
I would have a beer and a taco with that man.
I would.
I bet they would be delicious beers and delicious tacos.
And he would fist bump you like three times during the meal.
You would be feeling so positive and like pumped up after like hanging out with that guy.
I had a friend who's that artist that paints all the like the flames and the skulls, and he's all,
oh, are we talking about like old school tattoo artists, like,
yeah,
Ed Hardy?
That my friend used to
Nailed
say
it.
My friend used to say Guy Fieri is a Ed Hardy painting in real life. That's who he is.
Yep. He is an Ed Hardy t-shirt.
Yeah, right.
Just it
but
sprung
a real
head.
But a real person.
It sprung like a body outside of it. Yeah. But yes. I trust that man. I would go eat tacos.
Oh,
at his taqueria.
He seems like a good dude. And his son's names are Hunter and Ryder. Yeah, bro. Your sons are rad.
Yeah, I mean, if he had a third kid, he'd have to name them Gatherer, I feel like, but...
Or, like,
Spike. When does a celebrity ever have a normally named kid?
No, but it's so fitting for him, though. Like, the old Ed Hardy spiked hair bullshit.
Yeah.
And the t-shirts, my son's name are Hunter and Ryder. Bro. Yeah.
Bro.
Bro. It's like, and my wife, because I make millions of dollars, my wife was just like, I'm just going to, like, make these kids. You could totally name them, baby.
Yeah, I'm going to make them, but you can ruin them for life.
Yeah, I know you're only home, like, 10 days out of the 365, but name our children.
Oh, my God.
Oh, fucking stop fucking bashing Guy. He's a good dude.
Never. Yeah. Never, ever.
Yeah, he's the host of all hostesses. The only other host that I enjoy more is... Or on the equal level is Steve Harvey, who hosts Family Feud.
Really?
Yeah, he's funny. he makes me laugh.
Oh God, he's just with he his, with doesn't his... believe people. He's lost all hope in humanity.
No, you give him $50, he'll give you a nice mustache ride.
Girl, what the fuck?
It's true.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Sorry, Steve. I'd take that ride. Steve Harvey said, hey, go sit on my mustache. You wouldn't sit on Steve Harvey's mustache?
No, you know what? I say good on you. Have a good time, but I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, well, you can sit it out on that mustache. Fucking party pooper. And he'd probably be funny, too. He'd say funny things about you.
While you were on his mustache?
He'd be like, damn, that onion's big. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Lost your damn mind.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, have you been eating okay?
I've been doing all right. I mean, it's kind of quarantine-y food, so it's a lot of like non-perishables. I have many soups, many dry nudes,
preserves.
Some fine preserves. But yeah, it's been all right. I mean, it's weird also just being at home all the time, because I was so used to being at the restaurant for at least 8 hours a day that half the time I'd have like one meal at home and then I'd have like a lunch at work. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just at home and hungry and I'm supposed to do something about that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem right.
Have you found that your sleeping pattern has changed at all? I see a lot of stuff on like Facebook where people are like, my fucking system is like completely fucked up. I stay up all night and sleep all day.
For a long time, I was very much a night owl. So I naturally kind of want to sleep in a little bit in the mornings. But I had gotten myself, like, I was very much not a morning person. But from working in the industry in the early mornings for so long, I had developed that. So it's kind of terrifying to see how quickly those good patterns go out the window, because now I'm sleeping in until like 10, 10:30, 11 o'clock, and I'll have gone to bed by like midnight and I'll still sleep all of this time, and I'll wake up and I'm like, eh, what's the point?
Yeah, that's fair. But when you do sleep, because I sleep next to you, you have some trouble falling asleep because your brain is like a little...
A whirling dervish.
Like a mouse in a wheel.
Yeah. Very much so.
And the mouse is like, meow, 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 meow. But when you do fall asleep, you fall asleep. Like in the morning, I'll be like, how'd you sleep? You're like, I don't know. Like, I know because I'm sleeping beside you. And I'm a light sleeper. Like, I'll wake up because I got to piss because I'm old. So I got to piss like 4 times a night. And sometimes I just like wake up and be like, oh, God, I got to piss because I was dreaming about having to piss. And then I'll just try and fall back asleep. And then I wake up and I have to like double piss. But you're like out. You're snoring.
Oh.
Yeah. And then when it comes to like the morning, I'll be up at, I don't know why, I guess it's my internal clock. Plus I'm still working, so it's not like whatever. But I'll wake up at 6:30, 7 o'clock for some reason, and I'll get up and I'll go to the bathroom and I'll play
for your 12th time that night.
Yeah, play on my phone and hit the vape a couple times. If there's beers in the fridge, I'll have that nice morning cocktail. And then I crawl back into bed with you after an hour and you are fucking out. So you sleep good.
Well, that's the drugs. That's the medication that just like puts me right out.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah, it's good. It means it's working. I'll still wake up I'll sort of be like, it doesn't feel like I've really been asleep, but I'll wake up and I'll be okay. I'll make it through another day.
You know, that's important. We always make it. We have each other.
We do.
Yeah, so.
In this time of crisis.
I know. And you're the only person I hang out with outside of the quarantine zone, the neutral zone.
I was the only person you hung out with before the quarantine zone.
I know,
zone.
So my life hasn't, and I'm still working, so my life hasn't changed all that much. So fucking booyah. Anyway. Yeah, so I'm going to play a song for you. My love, this is something I recorded, which I forgot I did, but this is for you, my quarantine buddy. I love you.
I have wandered through the dark, through the dirt, I was hurt, and in the end I came back to the start. And I stumbled, Lord knows how I stumbled. Slipped on myself, no help from anyone else. I fell in love, and I was humbled. There she is. Isn't she everything? There she is. Isn't she everything? Down at the bottom, I found the things I'd forgotten. And despite all I've done, I can learn, and this time I'm gonna hold on to that. I'm gonna forgive myself, and then ask for forgiveness. Crossing my fingers and toes, cause God only knows that I need this. Lord, how I need this. There she is. Isn't she everything? There she is. Isn't she everything? Isn't she everything I need? I needed someone who believed me. Needed someone who wouldn't leave me. I needed her. Isn't she everything I need? I needed someone who'd believe me. I needed someone who wouldn't leave me. I needed her. There she is. Isn't she everything? I will give. I will give anything. There she is. Isn't she everything? There she is. I will give anything. Anything you need. Anything you need. Everything I need.
Yeah, so I just barfed.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I love barfing. I do. I'm a over barfer. You know that.
I do. It concerns me.
Like in a week. And it's not just all booze. It's just sometimes you just have to barf. Like, people fight. There's people out there that are deathly, deathly, deathly afraid of, like, throwing up.
Yeah.
But it's so great. It just makes you feel so much better. Like, I don't force myself to throw up. I'm not, like, bulimic or anything like that. But sometimes my stomach turns in a weird way. And, yeah, it probably has something to do with the beers as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and then I feel like sometimes people feel like, oh, I feel nauseous or I feel... I have nausea. Actually, that's the proper way of saying mm-hmm. it, because there's no such thing as nauseous. It's I have nausea.
Mm-hmm.
And they fight the whole day. They go to bed and they're like, oh, please don't throw up. Me, I'm just like, fuck, let's do it. Let's do it. And then when you barf, yeah, it sucks when you're in the middle of it. Like, it's like, ah! But it's like, other than, I'm sure there's worse ways you can feel, but this is the most natural way you can, like, feel at your worst. But it's also a way to, like, feel better. And once I'm done, like, barfing, fuck, I feel like $1 million. I could go out and run around the block right now. You want to see? You want to see it?
Do it, you coward.
No, it's too much.
Oh. But you feel better? You feel okay?
I love it's like an emotional release. Physical and emotional release. And when I'm in the moment, it's like, I know me, man. Oh, who the fuck it? What an asshole, eh?
What an asshole.
No, it's true, though. It's just like, other than like dying of some horrible disease, and I feel for anybody that is, but just being a natural worst case scenario feeling, it's probably throwing up. But for me, it's just like, sweet. Yeah, I'm going to sleep good tonight.
Well, I'm glad you're all right. I'm glad you're feeling better.
What's your take?
Oh, God. I'm not someone who gets sick very often.
There was one time, if we can cover that.
Oh, no. I already hate this story.
I can't remember what we were doing the night before. Do you remember? You know the day I'm talking about.
Yes.
What were we doing the day before?
Drinking like it was the end of the world, probably.
Where were we? What were we doing?
Were we at a was that the face-to-face show?
It was. Okay, we went to the Bronson Center.
Jesus.
To see the band face-to-face, and the show was fucking killer. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we had a good time.
I just remember the signs that said no moshing.
And Steph and I are Coors Light. We're light beer drinkers.
Yes.
You know, once in a while, if a shot comes our way, we'll do a shoot. But mm-hmm. not very often. We'll drink the light beers, and our bodies have been accustomed to that after like fucking 5 years together, right?
Yeah.
So that night at the face-to-face show at the Bronson Center, I think they were serving Bose?
Was it Bose? Yes, it was Bose.
Yeah, so it was like this thick, malty, fucking hoppy shit. But we're like, oh, fuck it. And we smashed them. We smashed them.
Well, we drank them like we would drink our regular beers, yeah. Which is not the same.
Yeah, and then we came home, and I'm sure I always have beers in the fridge. I'm sure we had a couple before I went to sleep. And Steph passed out pretty quick.
Yeah.
And I don't think I worked that day. You had to work in the morning, though. She had to be at work at like 7:30 or something.
Yeah.
And as soon as we woke up, she like darted to the... You darted to the bathroom.
I was like, this is it. This is me dying.
And
I'm dying.
You were fucking barfing a lung. And I was just kind of standing there like, damn. Like, I didn't feel much better, but I wasn't... you were. I was just like, oh, fuck, okay. And I remember I went in the bathroom and you were at the toilet naked, completely naked, and you were all sweaty and your hair was all fucking sideways and you're like,
I'm really glad you're telling this story.
Yeah. It's like, you have to call my work. I'm like, me? Why the fuck do I get? Please just call them. So I ended up calling her work unnamed. And some guy answered, and he's like, hello. I'm like, yeah, I'm calling for Steph. She's really sick, and she's not going to be in. And the guy's like, so you're telling me she's not going to be in? Yeah, that's what I'm telling you. He's like, okay. Hung up the phone, and I'm like, yeah, you're fired.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was such an awful day.
Yeah, and you barfed for another 20 minutes.
I was done. I was so fucked.
Then you crawled back into bed and you slept like most of the day. Yep. I was up playing like fucking Batman. Doo 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 bop and scup it up boop boop. Drinking like the day beers and you're like, ah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was the end. I would like it to be noted that I did not get fired.
Yeah.
I had a, this is your one fuck up.
Yeah.
Don't you ever do that again.
You were scared though, I remember.
I was really scared that I was fired.
Because you were waiting to run into the... Because you went to work the next day or whenever it was, and you're like... I'm like, how was it? And you're like, good. And I'm like, have you seen the boss?
Yeah.
And you're like, no. And I don't know if maybe you saw him that day or the next day or whatever, but when you ran into him, he was...
It was like the next day.
Yeah, he was cool, though, right? He was... Well, he was stern, but he was fair.
He did. He, like, pulled me aside. He's just like, you know that wasn't good, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, I apologized profusely, and I said like there was no excuse and that I was so sorry and it was never ever going to happen again. It would never happen again. He's like, okay, it's never going to happen again. And that was it.
Yeah. You don't work there anymore though.
So I don't work there anymore.
So fuck that guy, man. Like you were.
No, he was good.
No, you were a solid employee that people fucking looked up to and learned from. You have one little incident, and he puts you puts you under the spotlight. Fuck that guy. He should have like pulled you aside and said, "Dude, I've been there." You know what the fuck? Oh, what the fuck?
I did. I fucked up, and I own that. And
well,
that's the end of it.
You name me anybody in the whole world, any of our listeners, or anybody out there that hasn't had that exact experience where you wake up in the morning and you have to go to work, and you're like,
I'm dying.
Oh shit.
Yep. Oh no. Is that feeling?
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yep. That morning where you just went a little long, you just got a little, just not enough sleep, and you're like, I cannot possibly function like this.
Speaking of barfing, though, I've gone to work where I had to like pull the van over and like go beside the van and like barf beside the van.
Baby.
I know, like. And then I'm always scared that like a cop's gonna see me and like come give me a breathalyzer.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, it's just like, why you been drinking?
You've been drinking?
No. What's that School of Rock is like?
Yeah, he's just like,
I have a hangover. You know what that means?
It means you're drunk.
No, it means I was drunk yesterday. Yeah. But whatever.
Oh.
But not many people get their significant others to call their boss. So, hey, thanks.
Hey, it was a fun adventure. I've never had someone do that for me. So, thank you very much.
Hey, I'm a trooper. I'll fucking do it. I should have said, yeah, Steph's naked, sweating. Her bum is leaving like a sweat mark on my tiles.
No. And Steph's got the shakes.
Yeah. And like weird shit's coming out of her nose.
Oh, sadness.
Hey, I can send you a vid. I can send you a GIF if you want.
Do you want this working your floor today?
Yeah.
No. No, you do not.
Come on now. Don't judge. Don't judge. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's happened to you. It's happened to me.
Yup. So apparently Donald Trump has a financial stake in that medication he was trying to pawn off to the American people.
You can't possibly be shocked by that.
Yeah.
That's just, like, I'd be shocked if, like, that some information like that just doesn't even faze me anymore. I was like, of course he did.
Yeah.
Of course.
I don't have all the specifics and shit, but yeah, he was just like, and he said some shit like, try this medication or whatever. What do you have to lose? And then some doctor went online and said, your life, because this is not approved to ever take. You give it to like fucking dying horses type of thing.
Oh my God.
And then there was that one press conference, and Donald Trump did that one open press conference or whatever. It lasted like 2 hours when he finally admitted like COVID-19 is like, okay, you know,
it's a problem.
Yeah. This might be an issue. You know, America is the most infested place in the world, but you know, it's going to be all right. But, like a week later, he did another presidential address.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of talking about COVID, I guess something segued into it, and he started talking about hooking up with models.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. It was like this jab of just like, yeah, you know, it's just like it's a model effect. Speaking of models, I've hooked up with many models. Huge, huge models.
No, you're bullshitting
me. No, I'm not. You can see it. YouTube it, friends.
Oh,
YouTube it.
Oh, God.
This man is a fucking abomination. Like, he needs to... Like, he was impeached, and he beat that, but it was a hoax. Like he said, it's a hoax. It's a hoax. Don't listen to it. It's fake impeachment. But this man is an absolute fucking abomination to the world. And all he cares about is, like, his own ego, his own look, his own fucking whatever.
His own brand.
Yeah, eat your Big Macs. And all he cares about being the president of the United States is making money.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, his kids are in charge of all his fucking investments in real estate shit. So he's making money hand over fist. And now he's trying to slip in all these presidential things. Like, COVID, he's trying to make money off it. Like, he's like, try this drug. It's going to fix you. Wow, that's really JFK, though, eh?
It's chowder.
It's chowder. No.
Say it right.
Try this drug. It's the best drug. It's huge. This drug is huge. And who knows more about drugs than me?
I have the best drugs. I have the best people who push these drugs on me. I don't do drugs, but if I did drugs, I'd do these drugs. It's huge. And the fucking funny thing is that people are getting sicker off of it. And the fucking funny thing is that he comes out that he has an investment stock in it. So the people that are running out who are big Trump fans saying, okay, Trump said this is going to cure us and go buy this drug, and X amount of percentage goes into fucking Trump's pocket. Who cares if you die? At least you tried the drug.
isn't that
fucking unbelievable?
That man, like, we are truly living in the darkest timeline. Mm. It's.
I wish I hooked up with models. I'd probably brag about it too.
Yeah, on the presidential stage?
Maybe. Hey, man, if Justin Trudeau can be Prime Minister of Canada, so can I. Dope. I'm going for it. I'm going to run for fucking mayor or something.
There you go.
Yeah. Jim Watson, watch your ass, buddy. Watch your ass. Watch your waddle. That chin.
Aww. Don't be mean to Uncle Jim.
Yeah, I guess so. Uncle Jim's okay.
Uncle Jim's okay.
I'll still succeed him. Yeah.
The true successor.
Yeah. I have friends, man. I got powerful friends in my back pocket. They'll get me in there. And I'll fucking turn this city around.
You'll turn it right around.
I'll fucking turn it around. I'll turn it upside down.
Turn it right on its ass.
Turn it right on its ass. So be nice to me now, because I'll fucking ruin you later.
Spoken like a true politician.
Yeah, yeah. But you won't see it coming. Huge. Huge.
Ugh. But we were talking about wrestling earlier. Did you watch WrestleMania?
We watched WrestleMania.
We did watch WrestleMania. Such as it was.
Well, here it is. We said this last time on the podcast was NHL's done. Major League Baseball's done. National Football League's done. Basketball, it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing short of a nuclear bomb will stop professional wrestling.
Nope.
But you know what? I'm happy about that because I'm a huge fan. We're huge fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we were actually looking forward to WrestleMania for the sole fact, like, what is this going to be?
Yeah, what is this going
to
be like?
Because the shows prior to WrestleMania, like Raw and SmackDown, or even AEW, like Dynamite, were performed in front of it, like an empty room. It was like no. So it kind of like got us
acclimatized a little bit.
Yeah, acclimated.
Yeah.
To what wrestling would be like with no crowd. And WrestleMania is a huge event. It's like Game 7 of the NHL playoffs,
mm-hmm.
where the crowd feeds into the atmosphere.
It's
of
a
it
whole,
all.
It's a powder keg.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was what it was. It was a bunch of matches in an empty arena.
Mm-hmm. It had a lot of the matches themselves had a lot of the pomp and circumstance that they would normally have. Obviously, there wasn't like the cinematics or the pyrotechnics or anything like that to really like amp it up in terms of like the intros and things. But yeah, what did you have a favorite match? Because first of all, there were two nights.
Because I think the whole idea of, because WrestleMania, if you watch it like last year, it's like the whole thing with the pre-show is like 7 hours long.
Yeah,
but that's in front of a crowd, like a bubbling crowd, a mm-hmm. volatile crowd. So it's like, okay, we can do this. This year they split it up into two nights because they knew absolutely if we're gonna present this art in this kind of presentation, you can only handle so much because mm-hmm. it's whatever. So night one, I'll review night one. I liked the ladder match between John Morrison.
Really? It was
Kofi Kingston.
And one, I can't remember which Uso brother was.
Jimmy or Jay?
I think Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Uso. Yeah, I liked it just because it was, they still like, and don't get me wrong, all these people, depending on, like, you know, regardless of how little people were in the crowd or no people were in the crowd, they still went out to perform, because you have to think there's still, like, millions of people watching this shit.
Yeah.
So I give them credit for that, and I'm not going to shit on it to be like, oh, this is fucking bullshit because there's not 50,000 people in the crowd. There's a million people watching at home, quarantined, looking for some entertainment. So
yeah.
Good on them. Good on them. But I like the ladder match because I like the ending, because I'm a fan of Jim Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Or John Morrison, pardon me. I'm a fan of Jim Morrison too. But I'm a fan of John Morrison at the end where he was up on the ladder and they were all fighting for the belts, and then he grabbed the belts and ripped them off and fell on the ladder, took that bump on the ladder, and then they won. So that was cool. And the other one I liked was, well, I didn't like the ending, but I liked the match with Shayna Baszler and Becky Lynch.
I liked some of that match. I will say that I think I was disappointed with the end result of, I'm trying to think back. I think every women's match I was disappointed with the result of.
The way it came out, yes, but the match itself, like,
no, the matches themselves were enjoyable, but yeah, the end result, I think I was disappointed with. Thinking of it, like, yeah, I think there were four women's matches, and I was kind of like, eh.
I think
with every single result,
yeah. And if you really want to look back on it, though, I think the Becky Lynch Shayna Baszler match was probably the best match on the card that night.
Yeah, you think so?
I think so. Yeah. Just for all around storyline, and they took it very seriously,
mm-hmm.
even though it's like in an empty arena, but they were still like selling really good, and their facial expressions and everything was just really intense, right?
Yeah.
And yes, Becky Lynch won, but Becky Lynch should win because she is fucking so hot right now, red hot, that they can't just put it on Baszler because she doesn't have that.
Yeah, draw yet?
Like, draw it out to, like, SummerSlam, and maybe, like, wrestling used to be a long haul. You know what I
yeah.
mean? It's not like, okay, we're going to start this feud between these two guys, and it's going to fucking wrap up in 2 weeks. Back in the day, a feud would last a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until you got that big payoff where the babyface, which is the good guy,
yeah.
finally beat the heel. Who had been, the heel is the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
who had been causing their life to just be bullshit. And every single underhanded fucking thing they did, every time you saw these two together, the heel got over, the heel got over, the heel got over. And then finally, like 8 months or a year later, there's this big match, whether it be WrestleMania or whatever it be, and the babyface finally prevails. And that is a huge fucking satisfying thing. Finally! And the crowd goes fucking crazy!
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays, it's just like social media. Everything wants everything quick. It's like, even you and I were sitting here, and it's like, remember that movie with Ryan Reynolds? What the fuck was his character name? Oh, Google. Like, nobody uses their mind to just think of these answers. Because even though it's in your brain, it's so much easier just to get that instant.
The instant info.
Oh, it was Wade Wilson. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I got it. But, you know, and the same thing with wrestling and storylines. It's just like quick, and just keep it turnover and shit like that. So, I don't know. Hopefully they'll drag that Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler out some more. And next time, like, Raw's on, like, this Monday, it won't be, like, Becky Lynch versus somebody new.
Yeah.
You know, just keep it going. Just keep it going.
What did you think of the graveyard match?
The Boneyard?
The Boneyard, sorry.
Love AJ Styles. Love him.
He just murdered a man.
Yeah, I love AJ Styles. Undertaker goes without saying. He's a legend. I've followed him since I was a fucking wee lad.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed feelings about it. I understand that they had to do something different because of the quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I would have loved to seen, like, a match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker. Almost like the WrestleMania matches with Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker, where there were just such a great story to hold in the ring, because AJ Styles is the worker, Undertaker's the legend, mm-hmm. like the heavy hitter, and they could have put on an amazing match, and AJ Styles would have made Undertaker look amazing despite his like limitations, being older and kind of broken down and shit. And I was really looking forward to that. But once the quarantine came out, they said, you know, we're still going to have the match. But then AJ Styles said, oh, we're going to have a boneyard match. And I even said to you, I said, I bet you this match is going to be like in a graveyard or something.
Yeah. And I was like, no, they wouldn't do that.
Yeah. You're like, no, that's not going to happen. And sure enough, it's in a graveyard.
Yep.
And it was very cinematic. It mm-hmm. was very edited. There was three or four camera angles for everything. But in the end, I get what they were trying to do. And for the first night, that's great. The only thing I hope, I really, really hope, is that
AJ gets out of that hole.
Yeah, I hope he's not dead. But I also hope that this doesn't start a trend with WWE where every WrestleMania there's like a cinematic match. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's
I
like,
can definitely see McMahon being like, yeah,
this is great.
I'm a genius.
Yeah. Where they have matches in the ring, but then everyone in the crowd has to turn their attention to the like the Jumbotron or the
Titantron.
Yeah,
even though they're all paid to just fucking be there, yeah. and they could watch that at home.
And watch a 20-minute theatrical edited match,
yeah.
right? I guarantee it'll probably happen again, because it happened the next night.
Yes, it did.
So let's talk about night two.
That Firefly Funhouse.
Yes. I don't remember most of the matches on night two, but what I do remember is the Rhea Ripley Charlotte Flair match.
Yep.
Again, the women, best match on the night.
That was a great fight.
Yeah. And kind of sucks that Charlotte Flair won.
Yeah.
Just because she's a 10-time champion and she's only been around for like 4 or 5 years. Jesus Christ, you know, give
yeah.
Rhea Ripley a rub. Like, give her a push.
Yeah.
But the match itself was believable. Mm-hmm. It was intense. And I love Rhea Ripley. I
yeah.
love Charlotte Flair, too, because she could fucking kick some ass.
Yep.
And she's super believable. But it was awesome to see somebody. And it wasn't like Becky Lynch or Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair. Like, Charlotte Flair is like 6 feet tall. Sasha Banks is like 5'5".
Yeah, yeah.
It was like a girl that was like fucking eye to eye. Right?
Yeah,
big,
it was another big girl.
Big, broad-shouldered, tough girl. And they put on a great match. They really did. It's just a shame that the WWE upper brass decided to give it to Charlotte. Yeah,
yeah, again.
Yeah.
Well, it's her first NXT belt, but just give her another belt.
It's her third NXT belt.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was her first one.
She was the NXT 2-time NXT champion before she even made the big roster.
Shit.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't really remember much of any of the other matches other than the
there was
particular fight, the Funhouse match.
And the last man standing between Edge and Randy Orton, which went which went on for 45 minutes.
That went on for at least 20 minutes too long.
It was 40 minutes.
It was 40 fucking minutes. They went all the way through that entire arena.
There was one spot that I even commented on, which I've heard some like backlash from, is where Randy Orton was like, he basically hung Edge off that a pull down machine.
Yeah.
And with all the hype about Dark Side of the Ring right now, and they just aired the Chris Benoit story.
Yeah.
And that's how he ended up. He killed his wife, then he killed his kid, and he hung himself off the weight machine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, 2 weeks later at WrestleMania, Edge, or Randy Orton, put Edge the thing around his neck and hung him from the weight machine. It's just
that was not good.
And the fucking funny thing, it's like pre-taped, so it's like, couldn't you have like...
Yeah, did nobody look at this and think, this might be a problem?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And then the last thing was the Firefly Funhouse match.
Yeah, with the Fiend and John Cena.
Yeah, And coming
that was weird.
Coming off the night before with the Boneyard match of Undertaker and AJ Styles, then it was just like, okay, another cinematic match. But it was just, it was like all over the place. And John Cena went back to his ruthless aggression with his orange tights. Then he was the doctor of Thugonomics. And then he joined the NWO because everyone wanted Cena, the bright spot, Cena, good guy for all time. The whole NWO thing was to be like the heel turn that he never did. And he was out there, you know, and they showed some Eric Bischoff clips. And then basically the Fiend came back in and gave him Sister Abigail and pinned the motherfucker.
Yeah, we went through this like weird Willy Wonka-esque time tunnel of the life and times of one John Cena, and then he got his ass handed to him.
Yep. And the last match, which is the biggest out of anything that happened on this two-day WrestleMania, this was the biggest crime, is that Drew McIntyre beat Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
But if you know his story, this is the biggest, I won't say sad, but it's just like injustice.
Yeah.
It's like he couldn't finally win the big one in front of 80,000 people. He had to do it in front of two cameramen and two announcers.
Yeah. I've been rooting for Drew McIntyre for some time. And after watching some of his like behind the scenes, like personal shit for leading up to WrestleMania, I felt, again, I was like, I'm happy he has it, but I felt so disappointed for him that it was like this was this moment that he's been like struggling for so long, and it finally happens, and it's in an empty arena.
Yeah, and he deserves it, and I would have loved to see him win that belt and just the pop of the crowd.
Yeah, have everybody just lose their fucking
minds.
Yeah,
and let him do his like parading around on the corners showing the belt and stuff like that.
You hear that in the background.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, I don't know, man.
Huh? That's all you got?
I don't know.
Well,
I feel bad for the guy.
All right. Well, okay. We're going to stop talking about wrestling because I figure it's like a very polarizing thing and nobody wants to listen to anymore. But this is Ego and Vice episode 62. Maybe we should wrap it up. We'll play a song and then come back and wrap it up.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Cool. I missed you late last night and I wasn't breathing, but stuck in believing in no reason. Right or wrong, it makes a difference. Turn the radio on, turn the radio off, playing familiar songs all at once, to which we used to sing along. Life worth our seasons, war worth our treason. We gave everything until we died. We had no decision, me and Paul didn't fuck on this war, had to settle the score. But I fucking guess at this place. We gave up. welcome back. This is Eagle and Vice episode 62. We're going to wrap this up because we talked about wrestling way too long. We're over the hour mark now, and I apologize.
I am also very sorry.
Yeah. We talked about wrestling for at least 20 minutes, but that's what we do, and this is our show, so we can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't like it, then fucking turn the channel. Go listen to some radio that's broadcasted from people's homes. It sucks now. Everything sucks now. Anyway, I'm just kidding. But for my co-host, Ms. Steph Goodwin.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and my name's Mike. This is Eagle and Vice, episode 62. We'll see you next week. Stay safe, everybody.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.